The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast midweek, dual episode. We're back as promised. A little different format here. You got myself and Michael. Michael, bad news. I think that the fan communities I was reaching out to think I'm like a telemarketer or something. No one really got back to me.
I've seen your email. Sometimes you do talk like a telemarketer.
Yeah, I think I'm going a little too professional. Maybe I need to put some slang in there or something. I didn't ask for anyone's bank accounts though, so.
That's good.
I don't know why they would have thought, you know, it wasn't a real thing. But reached out to a few of them. I thought the easiest one would be the one from Canton Akron. Layup, we're from Alliance, I said. No response.
They're like, this is too good to be true. You're definitely a telemarketer.
I don't know what it was. They probably looked at our ratio on IG and were like, nah, only 100?
No cap.
Get out of here.
That's cap.
No clout.
That's what you need to say. You need to throw like a that's cap or something at the end, like to let them know that you're a real human, not a robot.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry that we don't have as much clout as you guys. Would love to have you on to talk about Tottenham. Oh, well. Anyway, you, the listener, get two episodes this week. You're going to get two episodes next week, too, just because we got midweek games. So we're going to have to figure that out as well. But Michael and I jumped on here to talk about a few things. But first things first, if you're listening, if you're taking in this podcast, share it with a friend, try to get someone else to listen to it, like, subscribe on Instagram, or not on Instagram, on YouTube, give us a comment, rate us, share it, do whatever you gotta do, 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, I don't care. Want some type of feedback, I did our Wrapped, our like Spotify Wrapped, they do it for people who have a podcast. We have 7 people in this world that we're their top podcast, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 7 more people than I thought we would. One of them being our mother, and I think the other one being Dylan's and Nick's mom, too.
Our mom, Mrs. Tucker.
Yeah.
I bet Nick is up there.
You think Nick re-listens to every episode?
Yeah.
He's reviewing game tape?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know who, I mean, shit, if you're not related to us and we're your top podcast, I'd love to hear from you.
I would too. Write us a review and please tell us how the hell this happened. Also, before we get into a couple of the things that we're going to talk about, just a bonehead move by Nick last week. Absolutely. Just not giving the flowers to their own Thanksgiving dinner and then him sharing it with us in the group chat. Just yes. Bonehead.
Very, very poor. Also very good by Dylan to just be like, I like your dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Very younger son.
We got sent their group chat with their mom. Mom was not happy about the pod mom was not happy about the Thanksgiving dinner slander. Also not happy with Dylan about making fun of Lafayette. I think that's fair game. Not really with you 100%. On that one, pod mom. You know, rivals are rivals. But... Yeah, so bad form on Nick. You got to improve that. Michael, there's two things that I was like, hey, can you make some of the run a show for us for this pod? I would love to hear what you're going to do. So you came up with two ideas. First of them, we're going to talk about a NBA League Pass setup where who's your top 3 teams that you like to watch that aren't Liverpool, aren't City in my book. I know that Bill Simmons does this all the time, so we obviously co-opted it and are running with it on our own. And then January's around the corner. It's the holiday season. What teams need to be out there shopping to get a new player for the second half of the season? We got a couple of ideas here that we're going to chat through. Then we're going to give you a preview to Tottenham City, and then you'll get our picks and the gambling corner with Dylan later.
One quick thing. I know we talked about the League Pass thing, and I know that you kind of said it was pretty easy because of XYZ. I vote we do League Pass draft. So once you pick a team, the other person can't pick them.
I gave you all 3 of my picks before we jumped on here.
I know, but I'll give you the first pick so you can have your number one. And I, I'll just so we don't pick the same three teams.
Okay. All right.
And you can't pick your own, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just ingenuity on the fly. I like hearing that. All right. Let's start there then. League Pass. This is, if you're not watching City, if you're not watching Liverpool in our cases, what are the top teams to watch? And I think that there's a bunch of different ways you can go about this. And my first pick, we've mentioned them the past couple of weeks. It's got to be Brighton. Goals aplenty. Goals for, goals against. De Zerbi's crazy. You never know who the next wonder kid is. Just an absolute great team to watch, fun team to watch, and you just don't know what's going to happen. 30 or 28 goals for, 23 goals given up. It's insane. So my number one pick, Brighton.
All right. In the same vein of watching an exciting team, probably not as exciting, but I think they have two insanely exciting players to watch, Ollie Watkins, Moussa Diaby. I got to go Villa.
Yeah.
I think they're a little bit better than Brighton is right now, especially like the home record is crazy. But they play transition sometimes they'll play a little bit in possession with the press. I think the defense is solid. I think the midfield is, they're always running around. Douglas Luiz, again, I already forgot about him. He's unbelievable. I think they got a lot of individual talent, and I think they're just an exciting team to watch.
Yeah, I think that that's a solid pick, too, because you get to watch the Unai show. Like, we've talked about it on this week's pod. He may be the third best coach in the Premier League. What are the heights that they can reach? Plus, I'm a close personal friend to Wes Edens, owner of Aston Villa, as well chronicled on this pod before. All right, since it's two people, we're not snaking. We're just going to go back and forth.
Yeah, that's fine.
My second pick, and all jokes aside, but I think it is a great story. I think right now you got to watch United. And you got to watch United because it is an absolute dumpster fire at times. You got to watch United because, as we saw today, we're recording this on Wednesday, Andre Onana, sometimes a good keeper, sometimes might as well not even be playing professional soccer. You never know. And I think much like the storyline of, hey, what are the heights that Aston Villa can get to? What are the depths that this Man United team can get to? And how far off the perch of the greatest team in England can they fall? And I love stories.
So strictly storytelling, you want United.
I mean, it's not for the quality of soccer, that's for sure.
Okay. I'm fine with you. I do not enjoy watching them, but that's, you know, to each their own. This is not going to make a ton of sense by how we're speaking right now, but I will say the next, obviously Liverpool won, probably, but I just end up watching like Newcastle or Villa a lot for some reason. Mm-hmm. I've watched a fair few Bournemouth games, and let me tell you, I do enjoy it. It's the TV angle at the home stadium, home field, pitch, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember what, I thought I knew what it was called, but I thought it would come to me and it didn't. All I can think about is Craven Cottage, and that's Fulham, I know. And I was just like,
the vitality.
The vitality. That's right.
Yeah.
The weird angle there, there's like a similar one at Crystal Palace too. It's just like closer down to the field, which is interesting. And when they play, like they did last week, they're prime Barcelona. They look great. Yeah, I think Solanke's great. I think Semenyo's is an exciting player. Billing is a great midfielder. Defense is a little shaky, which always, you know, it's going to be exciting because might give up goals, going to force them to go score some. I got Bournemouth, man. I'm a season pass Bournemouth guy.
Not since two brothers named Tucker has there been a bigger impact on this podcast than our good friend Craig. And I'm pretty sure Craig has no idea that he comes up every podcast.
Like, no, just, it's actually getting to a creepy degree. We need to probably stop doing it.
I think we need to chill out. I like that pick. Bournemouth's usually up there. Like, it's kind of one of those things, again, since we had that great conversation with him in the offseason, I don't want him to fail. You know, I want him to succeed. Yeah, so that's kind of the same mindset I am there. All right. My last pick. No one else besides us is really going to feel this way, because no one else does a podcast with this person except for me. So I guess I'm picking both the Tucker teams here, which is kind of crazy. I like watching Wolves. I like being able to talk to Dylan about his team, one. But two, they are the most Jekyll and Hyde scenario ever. Beginning of this year, couldn't buy a goal. Defense was solid. Now, they're kind of scoring for fun, but leaking goals here left, right, and center. I wanted to see them stay up. We thought they might go down. I think they're obviously safe now. But, like, also the Gary O'Neill scenario. Again, I love a storyline. So, like, him getting the boot from Bournemouth and now being above them in the table, interesting. So I always keep an eye on them, too. Wolves, also Pedro Neto. Like, you can't take your eyes off him. Like, he's having just an incredible season. So I think Wolves is my third.
All right. I have three teams still written down here just in case, you know, obviously if you took them. I was going to pick, obviously, another team that's exciting to watch. Tough to pick Arsenal, even though they are beating Lawn like 4-0 right now, which they usually don't put a ton of goals past you. Obviously, the Brentford game was like 1-0. The game against you guys was 1-0. They're very, very sturdy defensively. Not super fun to watch. So right now, I'm going injury-ridden Spurs league pass, because they have four wingbacks, three wingbacks and Ben Davies across the back four. They refuse to play Eric Dier. Vicario is still a really good keeper, so obviously keeps him in it. But even that Villa game was end-to-end. And for 35 minutes, they looked crazy. It looked like they could just win like that anyway without Madison. They're obviously still league pass with James Madison, with Mickey van de Ven back and stuff like that. But right now, it's just not changing how they play. So it's going to be 3-4-5 total goals in those games every time, pretty much.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to go there. If you didn't, I was going to say, hey, look, if we're being honest, like, honorable mention has to be Spurs. Like, just has to be.
Do you want to guess the other two names I had down?
Did you not have Arsenal then?
No.
Okay, so I would have guessed Newcastle, but you mentioned them before, so you may not have had them. I didn't know if that was going to be one. Normally, I think it's Brentford. This year, not so much. Normally, I think it's Brentford.
I had Everton.
Just praying for their demise?
No, because actually they are a team that makes so many chances and cannot possibly score a goal that it's like even if you don't like them, which, you know, I obviously don't love them, but when you watch like people just miss 3-4 yards out, at some point you're just like, oh Jesus, they have to score, like, come on. Yeah.
Surely.
It almost just becomes like entertaining and funny.
Yeah. I think that's a great reason to watch a team. So those are the honorable mentions there for sure. So what we do? I did Brighton 1. You did, who's your two?
Villa.
Brighton, Villa, United, Bournemouth.
Wolves, Spurs. Man,
Wolves, Spurs. The brain is leaving me today. Apologize. Midday.
That's all right.
Midday pod.
We got a long way to go.
Yeah. It's a good thing it's happening in the first segment. All right. League pass. Set in stone. It's also easier to do this with two people. If we had to ask all four of us, this thing would have taken forever. And, you know, someone would have been mad that I said that about United. But I'm just kidding, Nick. Yeah. Anyway, let's roll into what we think the deals that need to be done here in the winter window. We're coming up on January. Like I said, it's the holiday season. What gifts are teams going to try to gift themselves to make some improvements in the table? Michael, since I went first on the league pass, let's have you go first. We'll go back and forth on some of our ideas of what teams need to be doing here.
All right, so I guess the idea of this was somewhat like what you would need, what would be cool, but just kind of what I would want to see. The first one I want West Ham to deal Maxwell Cornet to Brighton.
You think there's a resurgence there, maybe?
I think he is technically a very good player. I think he has one appearance in the Prem this year, so they're, you know, clearly not really using him. I think that Bowen, Antonio, Outlet is just always going to be there, and they don't really have a need for another guy unless one of those guys get hurt, obviously. But then they also have, like, Benrahma and stuff like that who can play that role. I just don't think he is needed. And I think the way that Brighton rotate, and I think Matoma's still injured right now, another left winger, another guy who can play on the wing for them, who's incredibly talented, I'm sure could fit in really well. I have always liked him. I even liked him when he was at Burnley. He kind of made a little bit of an impact there. Thought he was going to get a chance at West Ham. Obviously hasn't happened. I want him to go to Brighton because I think it would be good for him, and I think it'd be good for Brighton. And I don't think West Ham need him. Make some money.
Damn, I went about this assignment the other way. I went top down. Now you're going not bottom up, I guess, per se, but you're kind of going
lateral.
Yeah, you're going middle out, I guess. Middle out. Because now I'm thinking, like, oh, if I'm Bournemouth or if I'm Nottingham Forest, who gets Jadon Sancho? That's like my mindset should have been on that, and I didn't think about it. And now your eyes lit up, so maybe you got to move there. So we'll have you do that. That's fine. My number one that I thought of, Dylan's going to hate me, Nick's going to love me. I got Pedro Neto going to United. I think it'd be the smartest buy that United have had in a long-ass time. And they don't score up front. They need someone who can actually create. I think the combination of Neto and Bruno combining midfield out, midfield to the wing, et cetera, et cetera. He's had a great season. I don't want to see it. But I think, like, if you're running the books and running the team at United, you know this guy's good. And, dude, he's only 23. I didn't realize that. Like, I'm looking at this again. I'm like, he's only 23. I got a feeling his next move is out of the Premier League, to be honest with you. Like, some big-ass team. But not to say United's not a big-ass team, right? But I think it made sense. I don't think Wolves will sell him, but I think it makes sense.
I think Wolves might have to sell him, potentially. I think, like, I kind of agree. I think, like, weirdly, like, a Atletico or a Barcelona or
Madrid,
something like that will come for him for sure. I think Madrid have Rodrigo, and I think he's doing pretty much okay, and they still want Mbappe on that side. But in terms of filling a position, I mean, the right wing, right mid spot at United is literally just a dumpster fire. So
yeah, I thought it made sense.
All right, I got. I'll just do this one since I already kind of gave it away. Jadon Sancho, great player at Dortmund. Pretty crazy that, like, at that time it was like Bellingham, Sancho, Haaland, and United picked Sancho like the worst one. I mean, not bad, but like the worst one of the three.
Yeah.
I want him to go to Spurs. I think under Ange, he would be way, way better. He would be less restrictive. He could kind of play the same way, same, like, progressive football like they would at Dortmund. A lot of, like, freedom, like I said. I just think at United, obviously, it's, like, it's so far done now just because of everything else. But even when he was still in the running to play, he has to play such a specific way, specific role. He's taking up a position where they have a guy who is, like, you know, Rashford is the guy there for, you know, last year especially, maybe not so much this year, but he's always going to be the left side guy. I think him on that left side, Son, if he's going to keep playing through the middle, I think he's better than Richarlison. I think it would be really interesting to see him there.
With Kulusevski too.
So Kulusevski on the right, Madison in the middle, Sancho on the left, and then Son through the middle. It's on, like, striker, obviously.
I really, again, I'm putting rivalries aside. I don't want to see Jadon Sancho become the next Dele Alli. I think that would suck.
I think this is the only iteration of Spurs in the past 15 years. Jesus Christ, that was almost crazy. The past like 5 or 6 years that he could survive in, because like Mourinho, it would be kind of the same. Conte would be kind of the same. I think Ange, mostly because of Ange, I think he would be successful there.
I feel like they can get him on a cheap too. May even be a loan. It may be one of those scenarios where if you get him for a loan for the rest of the year and he actually kind of shows out, then United can sell him on next year, maybe back to Dortmund, who knows.
The contract would be the problem.
So, you mentioned Arsenal earlier, and I know they're winning 4-0 right now as we record, but the goals have not been coming as plentiful as you would think for a team that's as good as they are.
5-0.
5-0 now, live on pod. So that's been coming as much as you think in the Premier League, and I do think that there is a striker out there that may have had a lot of hopes and dreams riding on him early in his career at a big team, and then had to go some other place to really learn how to be an all-around good striker. And I think that if you add someone up top for Arsenal, you're giving him another option. I love Gabby Jesus, but I kind of think that it's not over, but I still want him to go to Ligue 1 and lead the league in scoring, because I told you he'd do that 5 years ago, and I think he still could. Dom Solanke to Arsenal.
So the thing is, there's like such an obvious pick for Arsenal at striker, and it's just Tony.
Ivan Tony, yeah.
Yeah. So let's assume that can't happen.
I
don't hate it. Yeah, okay. I don't hate Solanke then to Arsenal. I think he's big. I think he can play the hold up a little bit better, especially if you're gonna have possession. He's been at two big clubs before. I'm pretty sure Chelsea and Liverpool. I think Chelsea, but I obviously know Liverpool.
He is.
I don't think it would bother him too much. I think he's like pretty like used to the pressure, used to leading the line. The only thing is, like, obviously you'd get him pretty cheap comparatively, and there's just a bigger downside, I think. Like, if he doesn't work out, then you're just stuck with three guys that kind of are B+.
Yeah, there's the risk on all these for that, but I like the fact that he's been the most successful at a club that has put a lot on him, but like, it's not like the people around him are that good. Now, if you get him on a front line where then he plays to Saka or Martinelli or Trossard, etc., 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 like, I just think now he's ready. When he was at Chelsea, he only played one game at Chelsea. Then he went to Liverpool, and that was the thing that I was thinking the most of. Like, all right, like, he actually got a little bit of a shot and just wasn't ready. Just wasn't ready for it. Again, he's only 26. Which is, I feel like Dom Solanke's been in my life for 12 years. I don't know about you, but like, only 26. I think it's a decent call. Again, downside's always going to be there for transfers, but it's a little bit of a cheaper option to do that.
I think probably the issue is like Nketiah is not a very good finisher, or obviously fine, but like not the best. And Jesus is a very good finisher, but he never plays. Like, he always gets hurt, and obviously availability is important. I think Solanke does not get hurt that often, and he's a better finisher than Nketiah. So I think overall it would be at least better than Nketiah in that case. I just think ambitions wise, Arsenal are going to go for like Osimhen or Tony or somebody.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say too is, there's no guarantee that he'd be able to fit the Arteta system of what a striker needs to do all the time. I do think that there is a ton of movement that Jesus does, much like Pep, where it's like there's times where they don't really even play with a striker. It's literally having just a higher up attacking mid that's like passing, pinging, and moving. And like, Solanke's never had to do that. He's on the back line.
For sure. All right, I'll stick with the Cherries with this one. I think he was great last year. I think he is an exciting left wing back attacking player. He has I'm pretty sure it's his brother, plays for Rangers in Scotland. Marcus Tavernier to Villa. Because I think Lucas Digne, he's been playing that progressive role. and he hasn't been having to defend a ton because they got that those three center backs back there, you know, holding it down. I think Digne is a little bit overrated. I used to really like him. I used to think he was like one of the better wing backs. I think he gets hurt fairly often too, more on the back end. I think Marcus Tavernier, if you just let him go up that left wing, he would be unbelievable for a team that, especially a transition team and a team, I think he could play in possession too and whip crosses in for you.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I was also on the Digne train back in the day. I feel like we would play, he was at Everton before. Who else was he at? Villa, do I want to say?
Well, he's at Villa now, isn't he?
No, I'm trying to think of what, he was at one other team. Anyway.
I sure hope he's at Villa.
I think that every time City would play him, he would have an assist or something. Or like if they'd give up a goal, he'd be the guy like on the end of that. So I used to be big on and Digne as well. I like the pick. It's funny that we can sit there again. You mentioned Bournemouth is like in your top three of the teams you like watching outside of Liverpool. They do have some pieces. They just haven't come together for sure. as well as they thought this year. All right, my last pick. It's a homer pick. It's a City pick. We need a defensive mid. We're getting rid of Calvin Phillips. I like Calvin Phillips, but he just didn't work out. There's two options. One, you figure out what the hell's going on with Paqueta, and you bring him in. Paquita, whatever, however you say it. I still can't believe that's how you pronounce it. But the better option, which I don't think you're going to be able to get now, because he used to play for us. What happened? How did we get rid of Douglas Luiz?
He played for you guys?
He was in our system for so long, and then we sold him.
Bro.
He was on loan to Girona, and then we finally sold him to Villa in 2019. But he's only 25. Paquita's 26. These are all still pretty young guys. I got 4 or 5 more years left. That DM position is just so hard to fill. It's so hard to get anyone to back up Rodri. I know with both these guys, too, you have the flexibility that they can play those other positions. So they're going to get playing time regardless.
He would
right?
be moving forward. He'd actually be more of a Gundogan clone than a Rodri clone because he gets forward a lot and can score.
That's probably true. My thought process is the best version of City is being able to give Rodri some time off. And again, I brought this up in a prior pod, or I brought this up when I was talking to my buddy Spencer here for the New York City like fan community. The Champions League final against Chelsea, Rodri was an unused substitute, which is insane to think and believe now because he's just so vital to this team. So anytime that you have someone that can actually back him up and give him some time off, I think that's just kudos for City. So that's where they need to be looking.
I also just want to say I'm pretty sure Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, Spurs probably, any team in the top six, well, Villa's literally four. Any team other than Villa in the top six would literally love to have Douglas Luiz. Like, bite your hand off to have Douglas Luiz.
And this is the thing, too. I do think that scouting department at Villa is good enough that they flipped Grealish for a lot of these dudes. Not Douglas Luiz, he's there in 2019, but they flipped him for a lot of these guys they got now. I think they're pretty confident that they're going to get 100-some-odd million for him, and they're going to be able to flip 100-some-odd million to get four other prospects again. So, City,
give me four John McGinns.
Exactly. You love John McGinn. You love a John McGinn. He's a fan. All right. Those are our transfers. I'm sure we'll talk about this more as December rolls on, which we're like, a day and a half away from December now.
Yes.
Michael, match of the week. What I wanted to talk to the, who did I reach out to? Seattle City. I reached out to, I think, LA City fan groups. Didn't hear anything back. Crickets. Spurs and Canton Akron. Can't believe they didn't want to reach back out to me. It's fine. I'll still reach back out to you next time Spurs are there. But the game of the week is Manchester City. They're hosting Tottenham. We said a week ago this has to be game of the week, and we didn't realize Tottenham was going to be on a 3-game losing streak. We also didn't realize that City would be 2 games back-to-back draws where they haven't won. This one's at the Etihad. We I picked City. I think you picked Tottenham, just to give a little spoiler alert. No, you picked City too?
Pick City.
Okay. To give a little spoiler alert to later in the pod when we do our predictions, how do you see this happening? How do you see this progressing? What should we be looking out for?
I would say a fully fit Spurs team, this would be an unbelievable game. The fact that I know...
You good?
Okay. The fact that I know that Ange will not bunker down, and I don't think they really even could because of the defensive issues that they have and injuries, they're going to go for it, and they are going to get cut apart, in my opinion. It's not at Spurs. It is just going to be an absolute... I'm going off here 4-1. I think they might get a goal, but I think that defensively, there's just no chance they can stop you guys.
It'll look very similar to if you ended up watching any of the Leipzig City game. It was basketball. It was back and forth. Yeah, it was fast break. Leipzig's not bad. They're not a bad team, and they are kind of similar to what you're saying. They went up 2-0 and did not pack it in. They're like, I want to get three. And I think the more that they progressed and the more they went forward, like, we knew City, if you're watching that as a City fan, you knew they were going to score. You're hoping they scored two to at least get a draw. You're praying they scored three to get the dub, and they ended up scoring three because they're a very good offensive team. It was basketball. It was fast break soccer. It was amazing. I think, to your point, this is going to be very, very similar. No Richarlison, no Van de Ven, no Manor Solomon, no James Maddison. I didn't even realize that Perisic was still on this team. De Bruyne's still out. Kovacic's still out. Matthias Nunez still out for City. Definitely more Tottenham players that are key to this team out. I like that you had them get a goal because I can't remember the last time I've watched these two teams line up and I don't see Heung-Min Son going like this to some City fans. So I know that'll happen. But I agree. If you have a chance to take the over in this one, you do it.
Well, the other thing too is like I think he's really good. I don't rate him, you know, as highly as maybe some other people do, but like Romero's not out or not there either. He's still suspended. And then Bentancur got hurt last game and had to get subbed off, and I'm not sure if he's going to be ready to go. So, I mean, you're looking at Lo Celso, Skip, Hoiberg in the middle. Gil on the outside, Son up top, and then Brendan Johnson, and then again four wingbacks across your back line.
Yeah,
that's I don't think it's even going to be basketball necessarily. I think they're not going to be able to move the ball past you.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of hilarious. The last pod we talked about the back line that Villa went against, and just wasn't top tier. Like, let's just be honest, it wasn't. It's not who you want, and you feel bad for Ange. You feel bad for Tottenham. They're gonna have to deal with Haaland. Doku is gonna get fresh legs because I told you this in confidence, and I said don't bring this up to anyone on the podcast. But I'm a man of integrity. I'm gonna bring it up on the podcast. Everyone here knows my love for Jack Grealish. The worst thing that happened to Jack Grealish is that he plays the same position as Jeremy Doku, because Jeremy Doku, outside of Haaland last year, this is the best first year a player has had under Pep at City ever. Because normally you don't play that much.
Did you see the stat from the City game? City-Liverpool game? Sorry.
Which stat? No.
12 out of 15 successful dribbles.
But see,
He attempted 15 dribbles.
Which is kind of nutty. It's absolutely wild. Nutty. We talked about this. I've seen a lot of people talk about how he cooked Trent. Like, I just don't really remember that many times that he cooked Trent. I think he was just cooking anyone who was out there. And it led to opportunities, but nothing that, like, materialized. But it is nice. Yeah, it's nice knowing that 4 or 5 times a game, we're going to get a ball on the ground sent from the end line to the middle, because that's how we normally score anyway. And he's going to at least be able to do it let's say, three times a game. It just happens.
The positive thing is that for the most part in that game, the, you know, you could Trent falling asleep or Trent being lazy or, you know, not being a very good defender just in general, whatever you want to say, the guys trailing the runners in the box to receive the pass from Doku were on it. And so many times the ball gets whipped across and it gets cleared away immediately. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you're asleep, those are all goals for the most part, or at least shots yeah. on goal. I think that's more like he had a 0.74 X assist or whatever because he's just, you know, whipping balls across every time he goes down the field. And you guys, I've never seen a coach, not never maybe, but I've never seen a coach consistently just play to one, like, very obvious strategy as Pep does, because Phil Foden was, like, on that other side was basically not used.
Yeah. Well, they even brought Foden to the center. They even brought Foden to the center a little bit and kicked Bernardo out. And I think the point of kicking Bernardo out to the right was get the ball to Bernardo so he'll hold up as much as possible to then swing the defense further that way to give Doku more space. Like, it was honestly a play to go right to then immediately go back left.
Yeah, in midfield, you guys were on the right side a lot just so you could whip it over to the left. You know, you didn't go straight down the field. You literally went like this, almost.
Yeah, it's like runway. The other thing that's going to be scary is just like how well the guys trailing defended. Man, we're 3-4 months into the season. You got another 5 left. 3 months from now, the people running onto his balls, are going to have a lot better idea of where he likes to play them and where he likes to go. And I think it's just, it's incredible that he's had this big of an impact so far, because again, it's notorious. Pep has first season syndrome where you come in and you don't really play that much and people think it's a bust. And then you end up, you know, getting a much better season 2, season 3. He's kind of hit the ground running here. We both said City, you said 4-1. Anything else you're going to be looking out for before I ask the obvious question?
I mean, I would say, like, if Spurs can get that first goal, then maybe look out, but they're not gonna get a goal and sit back. So,
yeah.
No.
All right, obvious question.
So many chances.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. It's definitely a season pass game. Obvious question. We're both going to have the same answer. 4 losses in a row, if it happens, to Tottenham, correct?
Yes.
Please don't fire Big Ange. Don't even talk about it.
Oh, my God.
Don't even talk about it. Well, I don't think anyone is, but we're just putting it out there. Keep this man in the Premier League, please.
Yeah, that would be the most insane thing ever.
Well, we've seen how quickly people get fired at Chelsea, you know?
Well, again, it's, you know, man, it's frustrating because when you play shitty football and you don't get results, it's like, well, at least, you know, why can't we at least play, you know, exciting football and not get results, right? So then you're playing exciting football and you're getting results and it's great and you're like, this is the best guy ever. And then you get injuries to 2 of your most important players, definitely your most important player, and then Van de Ven has been unbelievable. And you're like, well, we should be a little bit more pragmatic. And it's like, you can't have it both ways. You can't complain when you were itching for the thing you're seeing right now, and you've actually seen how good it can be, and there's an obvious reason that it's not, and these guys are hurt, and you're, you know, in a little bit of a crisis here. But if you fired him, you're smooth-brained as fuck. I'm sorry. I don't know how else to say it. Like, you have no idea.
Don't put it past Tottenham to make us. Don't put it past Spurs to make a Spursy decision. But please, we never thought we'd like Spurs. I like Big Ange. I like him.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's the preview. Let's go ahead, and you're gonna hear a little transition. We're gonna dive into our predictions for the week. All right. We're back. Let's get into predictions. It is a raucous week in the Premier League. guys, I didn't know if you knew this. We have this week, and then we got midweek games coming up the week after.
Let's go.
So it's going to be a two-day break here, a two-day break there, and we're going to go through 3 weeks in the matter of 2 weeks. That's how math works, John. But let's get us started here. Dylan, opening game of the match week. You're heading to Arsenal. Tell me what the Wolves are going to do.
If we stick with our Robin Hood form, there's a tie or some type of points coming from us. But like I said, I think early in the week, we don't have a midfield. So, Arsenal.
Michael?
Arsenal as well. Your midfield being out is bad.
Yeah, this might be yes. A bloodbath. So, yeah. Arsenal.
I got Arsenal, but if I have to lose one game this week, I wouldn't mind it being this one. You know what I mean?
Stop yeah, me sucking too. Up.
I'm not sucking. I want Arsenal. I'm trying to get in first place again. Brentford, they're hosting Luton. Close game against Arsenal last week. Luton with a home win. Both teams look decent here and there. I know that we just want Ivan Toney back. Michael, you gave me the look. Tell me what you're thinking.
As the only one who predicted Luton's win this week, I got Brentford.
Okay. Nick?
Yeah, the bees at home should be quite comfortable in their hive.
Yeah, I got the bees buzzing as well. Dylan?
I'll take Brentford.
Love it. The J.J. Watts, the fighting J.J. Watts, the fighting dude perfects. Burnley, they're hosting Sheffield United. I got Burnley. And I know I'm alone, so that's why I did it. I got Burnley in this one. Dylan?
I also have Burnley. Mostly for the fact that I'm basing it off of the Sheffield United guy that basically said that Burnley at home, Burnley away for them is an absolutely no chance of them winning. So I will take his word.
Love it. Michael?
I also have Burnley. If they can't win this game, company is gone. I said the wrong thing. I'm not putting my hat in the ring. I'm putting my neck out. If they don't win this game, Sheffield United or Burnley, Vincent Company is gone. Fired.
Nick?
Yeah. You will not walk alone on this one. I did find out the fighting J.J. Watts, he does own a minority share of the 16% that is not owned by the major corporation. So it was very small, but it's a Burnley sweep this week, and I'm with Michael. This might be the guillotine game for him.
I thought it was going to be the only one. Forest, they're hosting Everton. I cannot wait, because I think there's going to be some back and forth here. Nick, lead us off. Who you got?
Oh, I want to take Everton, but I'm just going. The community ground is so hard to play at. Forest is riding high. Everton, I think Garnacho's goal might have relegated them.
Shut the fuck up.
Already.
Damn. Sorry, Hank.
Yeah, I got to take Forest. I think this will be a tight game in the first half, but I think Forest will take care of business in the end.
I got Everton. Because I'm an idiot. Dylan?
Self-awareness is the best thing you can have.
I was going to take Nottingham Forest because I know they can score goals. I think Everton bounced back. I will die.
Love it. Michael?
Everton 1-1 in 5 at home, 3-1 and 2 away. Makes no fucking sense at all. this is going to be really good. I got a draw.
Yeah. Good picks. I think it'll be a good game. Fun game to watch. Another fun game. Newcastle, the fortress that is St. James Park. They are welcoming old foe, Man United. Nick, Garnacho's got 3 of these, right? 3-0 win.
Yeah, 1 from midfield, 1 from his own 18, and 1 from Onana. You know, it's going to go belt one in there. I am going to pick a draw because the fortress that is St. James's Park and United's just inconsistency, even more inconsistent away. I think it's a really good game, but this has got, and Newcastle's somewhat struggling. I'm calling Chelsea an outlier. This has got 1-1 written all over it.
Michael?
I got Newcastle. I tried to see who's all coming back. I know Isak will be back, Longstaff, Joe Linton, Gamarish. I did my own homework. I don't think the defense is going to be fully back, but I personally 3-0 against Everton was shining very bright light on you. I don't think it was as good as it seemed. So I got Newcastle.
I concur with you, but I can't pick just Newcastle straight up.
Yes, sure you can. I do it every week.
Well, you're a better man than me, Dylan. What do you want me to say? Self-awareness is a great thing to have.
Yeah. Well, Dylan, are you picking Newcastle straight up in this one?
Absolutely. Give me Newcastle.
Same. Shaking across the board. I got Newcastle as well. The Fighting Craigs, unfortunately, they're taking on the wagon that is Aston Villa. Dylan, who you got?
I need to get back on the scoreboard. I'm taking Villa. I won't go crazy.
I got Villa as well. Nick?
I think Villa is starting to figure out their away form. It's the villains.
Michael?
I think this will be a tough one, but I think Villa will win.
Chelsea, they're hosting Brighton. I don't know if this is controversial or not, because I think we're in and out on Brighton every week and whatnot, but I actually think Chelsea win this, like 1-0. Like a 1-0 win. After all the bullshit we just said about them, I got them winning 1-0. Nick?
I'm going Brighton. I just fuck Chelsea.
Just straight up.
Yeah, let's just go for it.
Michael, how are you going to top that?
So I think it was Carabao Cup. They played same fixture at Chelsea. Chelsea did win 1-0 in that one. I don't know why. I haven't seen anything in particular. I think De Zerbi is a spiteful man deep down. I think he prepares all week so they don't lose this game. So I got a Brighton win.
But he can't because they have a game on Thursday. And
he doesn't care about that game.
Should. just saying.
He should.
I don't trust either of these teams right now, so I'm taking a draw, which is probably the wrong choice and why I'm in last place. But I just don't trust either of them.
I can say this. I'm married to an Italian. De Zerbi confirmed. Probably pretty spiteful. I've also seen The Sopranos, which makes me a quarter Italian as is. Liverpool, they're going to host Fulham. Michael?
Gotta be a win.
Yeah. Dylan?
Don't let them in the box. They might fall down. So take Liverpool.
Speaking of spiteful, Nick?
Yeah, we'll roll with the Scousers here.
Yeah, I got Liverpool as well. I still think Fulham's pretty bad. Fulham's not as good as Wolves. That game sucked. I have to watch.
That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry for interrupting you. We forgot that Fulham have like the we might go down, like kick up the ass every so often. So like those games they're gonna play pretty big for.
Or maybe a we may go down and we literally will go down if any kick at the legs, which Dylan.
Yes. There you go.
West Ham. They're hosting Palace. Palace, you know, also pretty bad. Pretty bad right now. Nick, who you got in this?
We're just going to roll with the Hammers. Just going to go on form.
Yeah, I got Hammers on form as well. Dylan?
West Ham, too many injuries, especially defensively for Crystal Palace.
Yeah. Michael?
West Ham, Mohamed Kudus is probably one of the best signings of the year.
Yeah, he's up there. Pretty good. Game of the week. Game of the week. Man City. They're going to host Tottenham. Tottenham's got to get back on form. I think it's 3 straight losses, I believe, with Big Ange. City with back-to-back draws, so both teams not at their best. This is at the empty hat, as Michael would probably like to say. Man City. I got them. Got to take them. Dylan, who you got?
I'm taking City.
Michael?
Yeah, at the empty ad, more fans online yelling at me than in the stands. I got Man City because they're not the same team that beat you every year.
Makes you question who Trent was shushing. Nick?
Mannequins, I already answered that.
We're going to go with City, make it 4 in a row.
City. All right, that's the predictions. Let's get you a quick update. Michael still in the lead at a brisk 78-52. That's kind of crazy. Nick, second place. You and I are tied at this moment, 73-57. Dylan, still at 500, though. Still 500, 65-65. We've got to figure that one out. We will. I got a feeling, I mean, Michael, you said this a couple weeks back. These weeks are getting tougher. I don't know if we just got lobbed some softballs at the beginning of the year, but these weeks are getting tougher. And the record definitely we're 4-6 and 6-4 and whatever the past couple weeks.
Well, 2-8. So you got to remember, like, the relegated team or the promoted teams, like, basically lost like the first six games straight. Didn't matter. You guys are pretty much a lock most of the time. I think we were early on the Villa one. I think we're early on Liverpool and Arsenal. So right there, you got like guaranteed 4 or 5 wins a week at the beginning. Now it's going to get a little tougher for sure.
And the Christmas period coming up is just always chaos. So we're always due for some curveballs in that one.
Yeah, for sure. Dylan, you got any bets for us? I know the Champions League's this week as well. What you got going?
So bets went well, which was nice this week. So we'll go back to the well. Your Columbus Crew that we spoke about last week, +220 against FC Cincinnati. We will be rolling with the Columbus Crew until they end up winning the MLS Cup. I got you, boys. Newcastle's -110. Not the best value. I just don't think United's got it. Taking them. Chelsea, Brighton. I'm just going to go with that. Goals. They actually convert on either both sides. So over 3.5. Goals in that game. And then we're going to take the over 3.5 goals in City Spurs, mostly because either Spurs won't be offsides 20 times and they'll get their goals, or their defense is still going to be in shambles against a team like City and we are going to light up the scoreboard. And then finally, Nick, this one's for you. We will be taking Galatasaray versus United.
Oh my God! Hang on.
I know I said it
wrong.
That's an all-time bad one. Try it again.
That's a horrible one.
Hang on. Try.
I'll be honest. I think it's how I typed it out into my spreadsheet. So don't make me read it again, because I'm not gonna look it up.
Look it up. Read it again. We're gonna give you a chance to redeem yourself. No. We're gonna give him a chance to redeem himself. The teacher in me is not letting him move on from this. He must learn.
While he looks it up, the fact that he said Galastory made me think of, like, the never-ending story or some shit like that. I was like, what are
and
we
that's,
doing?
That's every time Nick talks, right?
Whoa! Ricochets!
As Michael's the Mr. One Comment Guy, and one more comment guy.
Younger brother tandem. I can't let you do this.
To my credit, what their name is, that is just not how I spelled it. In my sheet at all.
We can tell.
Galatasaray. Fuck.
Good luck, Galatasaray.
Galatasaray, there we go.
Playing Man United. Turkish League's tough. Nick, actually, while you're on here, you guys gonna get out?
Of the group stage?
No.
Yeah.
No, at this point, I honestly, I would rather come last and just focus on domestic stuff. I really would. Right.
I want you
United's
to come
third. A long way.
I want you to drop down to Europe and draw us.
I don't mean that in my life.
That'd be brutal.
Michael will always have an extra comment for any time I try to say something nice about my team.
That'd be brutal. Dylan, I like it. We got to build out the betting corner a little bit more, get it a little bit more structured, because I think it's a good thing to run with. It's always tough. It's earlier in the week, but I think that's something we got to roll with. All right, second time this week. Get us out of here with a joke.
So what do scrambled eggs and the Wolves have in common?
Both yellow.
They've both been beaten. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.